We knew that God had given us the responsibility to train our children. And we just, I thought we'd be able to start a Christian school by the time Matthew was 5 years old. But Matthew got to be 5 years old and we weren't able to start a school. And we didn't know what we were going to do. So we weren't going to allow our kids to go to a school that we weren't comfortable with. And we weren't going to allow them to, we didn't have the money to put them in a Christian school. We didn't know what we were going to do. We found out about homeschooling and began, we just decided we were going to homeschool our children. And so for the last 26 years, we did that. We, my wife watched as Hope graduated last year, and she should have got a diploma. 25 years of homeschooling. We were somewhat pioneers in the homeschooling business. We had many people criticize us and say, you cannot do that. And then, of course, you have to put up with, I can't do that because my kids go to school. We can't do that because we don't get to keep our kids at home. And people treating you as though your kids are just at home playing and not at home schooling. The sad thing is, we have met a lot of people who said in the last 26 years, we're going to homeschool our kids. And what they actually did was just kept their kids at home. There was no schooling involved in it whatsoever. And it's a disservice to your children to do that. It is, you need to understand, if you're going to homeschool your children, you have a responsibility to school your children. You are there to teach your children. This is not just a keep them home so that they can help you in the house, or to keep them home because you want to keep them near, or keep them home because you want to protect them. That might be true. You might want to keep them near. You might like having them in the house, and you do want to protect them, but that's not why you homeschool. You homeschool for a various reasons. Let me give you the premise of homeschooling. Look in your notes. God gave these children to me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Not they shall teach them, but thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. God gave me Matthew. God gave me Joshua. God gave me Charity. God gave me faith. God gave me hope. God gave me these children. I'm going to answer to God for how they're trained. And my wife and I determined then that we were going to make sure that they were trained properly. Number two, I am responsible for their training. It is a fact that I am responsible for how my children are trained. And I want to make sure that they are trained right. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I'm going to make sure that my kids are trained properly because I'm responsible for their training. Number three, I do not want them to be trained wrong or by the wrong person. Psalms 1 and 2 should be on the heart of every single Christian man and woman. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I am going to make sure that my kids are not going to be walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I want you to know, when they go to public school, they will. And people want to deceive themselves about that truth, but that is a truth. It is just the fact. If your kids are in public school, they're going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, they're going to stand in the way of sinners, and they're going to sit in the seat of the scornful. They're going to hear that. They're going to be surrounded by it. Now, there are good Christian men and women who are in public schools as teachers trying to reach kids, and I applaud their efforts. But aside from that, they're going to have peer pressure to do the wrong thing, and the vast majority of the people that are in the public school are part of our pop culture, and they're going to lead your kids astray. I do not want my kids to be trained wrong. and I don't want the wrong person training my kids. Number D, I want the training balanced and disciplined. I want to have the training balanced with discipline. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Because of the laws and the liberal situation that we have in our culture today right now, discipline in the schools is just thrown out. There is no discipline. You're not going to have that. The government has tied the hands of the teachers. The truth of the matter is, when I was in the sixth grade, I think I got a SWAT every single day in the sixth grade by my sixth grade teacher. It was part of the curriculum. You took math, and you got English, and then Dave got his spanking, and then we went on to whatever was next, to history or geography or whatever. That's what happened. My teacher had a board that was this long, had a handle in it, had holes in it. And then we had one with no holes in it. And if you were a rookie, you got the one with no holes in it. I got the holy one all the time. That's the way it was. You don't have that anymore. You cannot, in the public schools, balance discipline with training. And so I want that for my children. I don't want my children to have wrong companions. I do not want my children to have wrong companions. Again, we're talking about the premise. The premise is God gave these children to me. I'm responsible for their training. I do not want them to be trained wrong or by the wrong person. I want the training to be balanced with discipline. And I don't want my children to have wrong companions. Proverbs chapter 13, and these are so very important, these verses. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible says, be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Evil communication, that is, I'm talking to the wrong people about wrong things, are going to corrupt good manners. I'm going to wind up doing the wrong thing. If I hang with the wrong people, I'm going to wind up doing the wrong thing. If I hang with the wrong people, I'm going to wind up doing the wrong thing. That's why you need to guard your children. That's why you need to protect your children. So that's the premise. One more thing. If you're concerned about peer pressure, you need to... let me just say this. Be careful about your neighborhood. Be careful about your church. My daughter was out in our neighborhood, in my backyard. We had a 8-foot block wall around our house. My daughter, Faith, was out swinging in our backyard during school. And a boy comes walking along the top of our fence and offered Faith a cigarette. In my backyard, in my house, very protected. And she said, why? Why would I do something stupid like that? Now, she had the right response because she was in a protected environment. The fact of the matter is, there were boys that in that neighborhood that would walk up and knock on my door and ask me if they could date my daughter. And I said, when pigs fly. The fact is... my kids are protected in my home, and you need to be careful. You need to be careful about the kids your kids play with in your neighborhood. My kids would go outside. Our next door neighbor played basketball with them. One day Joshua walked in and said, you know what? I'm not going to go play with Kenny anymore, because every time we go out and play with Kenny, he uses bad words. And I thought, wow. I'm glad to know that. I thought they were too young to hear bad words, but he was at public school. He'd come home, and he was the neighbor kid. And so I thought, hey, well, I'm going to let my kids play in the neighborhood. Well, no, they didn't play in the neighborhood anymore. Be careful at church. Be careful who your kids associate with at church, because you're going to have good kids and bad kids at church. You say, I thought church was a place to protect. No, church is a place where we reach out to the lost. And you need to be careful with your kids. If you're concerned about peer pressure, check out all of their friends. You can't tell me who to be friends with. Right. I can tell you anything I want to. That's the facts. We're so intimidated by such a liberal media today. You need to understand, these children are given to you by God, and you can tell them anything. You can't look in my drawers in my room. I said, I can look at anything. They're not your drawers or my drawers. I'm just letting you use them. You can't look under my bed. Yes, I can look under your bed. I can do anything I want to. This is my house. You're my kid, and I'll do what I want. You say, are you that bold? Yeah, I'm that bold. And I smile when I say it. And the fact of the matter is they knew that while they were growing up, and that didn't change. And we had peer pressure against this. Listen, here's the last point. I don't want my children to be untrained. I don't want my children to be untrained. I'm not keeping them home because I want them to be untrained. Don't train your children to be lazy. There have been parents say, we've been homeschooling, but my kids, they just lay around and they do this and they do that. Look, you don't have to have lazy kids. You don't want to have lazy kids. Your kids should learn how to work, and they should learn how to work hard. They should learn that in homeschool. Don't train them to be rebellious. Don't teach them, well, we're doing this. I don't care what the government says. We're going to be here and we're going to and defy the government. Don't teach them that. Nobody knows how to train you kids the way I know how to train you kids. Don't have an attitude of cockiness and rebellion that will reflect in your kids' attitude towards you later on. Who do you think you are, the number one authority in America? No, you're just the parent. That's all you are. And God has given you a responsibility to protect your children and train your children. Don't teach your children to be rebellious because you've got a rebellious attitude towards those that are in authority over you. Don't train them to mooch off the government. Don't teach them that that you're going to get whatever you can from the government, but you're not going to do what the government tells you to do. Very important things. And I say those things because I see that kind of attitude oftentimes in homeschoolers. And you need to understand you're ruining your kids. You're not helping them at all. So the premise is God gave these children to me. I'm responsible for their training. I don't want them to be trained by the wrong person or the wrong or being trained the wrong way. I want the training balanced and disciplined. I want the training balanced with discipline. I don't want my children to have wrong companions, and I don't want my children to be untrained. And so, therefore, I am going to have a home school situation. Now, your focus is on training these children. What is the purpose? The purpose of homeschool is, number one, preparation. You want to prepare them morally. You want to prepare them morally. My biggest concern about public schools, my biggest concern about my children is that they are morally trained, that they are spiritually trained, that they're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's more important than anything else, is their morality, their right and spirituality. You should write next to that their morality and their spirituality, that they are strong morally, that they are strong spiritually. A kid might not be academically talented, but he can be morally strong and he can be morally pure, and that is the key thing. You can probably learn some academics. In fact, a lot of kids do at school, at a public school. But I want my kids' morals to be strong. I want them to be protected morally and spiritually. And so that's number one, preparation morally. Number two is preparation mentally. I want them to be trained mentally and be prepared to deal with the high-tech world that we live in. And then number three, socially. I want my kids to be socially acceptable. I need to make sure that I am dealing with them so that they can interact with just anyone in the culture. So my number one purpose is preparation. Number two, my second purpose for homeschooling is education. Education. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 says about the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was homeschooled. That's nice to know. Our Lord was homeschooled. The Bible says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus was trained in four areas. Number one, wisdom. That is, he grew mentally and he grew academically. So he grew in these areas. Very important, therefore, that our children grow academically. It's not just good enough in our high-tech culture for our kids to just be able to get through, and all they're going to do is get married, and all they're going to do is have kids anyway, so they might as well. Don't have that attitude. That is not going to make them a success in our culture. If your daughter grows up and she's a housewife, if she is a stay-at-home mom, if that is the situation, she still needs to be able to communicate and effectively discuss the issues of our culture with people that she's trying to reach for the cause of Christ. And so it's important that they grow intellectually. And then in stature, physical education, lunch, field trips. I wrote down here, make sure that you have family outings together. Make home schooling a lifestyle. That doesn't mean counting dishes is a replacement for math class. One dish, two dish, three dish. That's not what I'm talking about. Everything that you do is school. It's living a life. What I'm saying is this. In PE, we would get up in the morning. I just normally would get up in the morning and go for a walk. I used to walk 2.5 miles every day. Well, in our PE class, our kids needed to have some type of PE. So for several years, when I got up in the morning, normally that was my time of prayer and devotion and with the Lord. But then the kids, they needed PE, so they went with me. And so we would walk our 2.5 miles and we would talk, and that would be their PE for the day. Or we would jog, or we would do different things together. You're involved with them, and they need to have, they need that physical action, not just the mental actions. We would go on field trips. My kids loved sending in reports. We were with Abeka Homeschool. We would send in reports. They loved their field trip reports. Dad, we're supposed to take a field trip. I said, we did. They said, where? I said, we went to Pennsylvania. That was vacation. I said, yeah, it was quite a field trip, wasn't it? We would go out, we would see things. They would see things that they saw the entire country because we lived that. That was part. What we would do is then they would make reports on the trips that we took. And we would, since we traveled all over the country, they were able to do that. Make what I'm saying when I say that make your family outings together part of schooling. I'm not saying that you can just say, okay, now this is school and let's enjoy what you're doing, but make school school, and then allow your life to be a part of that situation. In favor with God, the Bible says they grew spiritually. Jesus grew spiritually. I love your class, or your school should have Bible classes every day. You should have devotions every day. You should have them in church every time the doors are open. And you need to think of going to church as part of your homeschooling. Now, understand this. It's so, so important. People say they homeschool and then they'll drop out of church. And I think how foolish that is. They're not giving their children any opportunity for social interaction. You say, well, what if some of the kids at church say things and do things that I don't think is appropriate? That's the perfect place for them to see inappropriate behavior. It's a perfect place for them to learn. And you can look at them and you can say, now, look, you know what? They're doing this, and there's going to be some consequences for them. And then you have an opportunity to talk to them. Do you know that Joey said this word? Yeah, well, I want you to understand, if you ever say that word again, I'll rip your lips off. And you're teaching them that this is inappropriate. And you can talk to them about what is right and what is wrong. The perfect place. You know where you can learn more about adultery and immorality than any place? You can learn about those things by reading your Bible. God tells us and teaches us all about that wickedness and homosexuality. You read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read some vile things in this book. Why does God put that in there? Because it's part of the world, and you're learning about it from God's perspective. So make sure your children are in church. I'm not saying bring them to church so they can learn vile things. I'm just saying you need to have them in church because that's their opportunity for social interaction. My children had all the social interaction they needed because they were at church all the time. They were here Sunday morning. They were here Sunday night. They were here Wednesday night. When the doors were open, they were here. If there was youth activities, they were there. If there was camping activities, they were there. If there was Awana activities, they were there. They were there. They were there. They were there. They got all of these things because they had it at church. And by the way, 100 years ago, that's the way it was in this whole country. Everything in the towns, any activities that took place, centered around the local church. The church put those things on. It wasn't until the last 50 years that the media and television and movies and all that stuff has come along and corrupted our culture and got our culture centered around worldly things and not around the things of God. So have them in church as often as the doors are open. Make sure that you're making sure that they have devotions every day and that they are in Bible class every day. Favor with man. That is, be in church again. Let them develop Christian friends. Have kids to your home and make sure you supervise the kids that are in your home. Expose your kids to the realities of the world bit by bit. Had a preacher's daughter say to me one time, she said, hey, because I have fun with teenagers. I have fun with young people, and they just know that we have fun. And she said, hey, Brother Tice, I want to tell you about, and then she stopped. And she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, what? Before I tell you the rest of my story, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. She said, do you have a TV in your home? And I looked at her and I smiled and I said, I have 5 TVs in my home. And she said, oh, good. And then she started telling me about some TV show that she watched. And she just went on. She went on about that. The reason we had 5 TVs in our home is because we used video homeschool when our kids got to a certain age. And so we had a TV in each one of their rooms that they were watching at different times. And it was very, very convenient, very, very, a lot easier to do that way. So what I wanted to say is this. We watch TV with our children. We watch things on TV. We saw the things of the world. We were out in the world, doing things in the world with our kids. We went to theme parks all the time. There was rock music blaring in places that we walked through. There were things going on. And we used those as opportunities to, while they were with us, expose them to the things of the world where we could say, this is right and this is wrong. This is why we put up with this here. This is why we do things here. This is why we don't do things. This is the result. And we were able to teach them about the world so that they didn't go out in the world saying, oh, look at these vile people. They were exposed to the world bit by bit under our supervision, and you need to do that. Let them be at church and be with others and be around you with other people. Let them see the world from your perspective, which should be a biblical perspective. I can remember one time we were out on a visit after church. Some people had visited our church from another church. They'd come over to our church because of a guest speaker that we had in town. And then they wanted this guest speaker who used to pastor here in town to come over to their home. And they invited him over and they invited us over to their home after the services. So we went over to their home after the service. Well, we taught our children that beer is bad and it's the devil's drink. And anytime a beer commercial would come on TV, we would flip the channel and we would tell them that that's beer. Beer makes daddies drink. They would drink. If you drink that stuff, it'll make you do bad things. And then daddies leave mommies and they leave their kids and they do terrible things when they drink that stuff. So we don't drink beer. It's bad. And we didn't say there's a difference between whiskey and beer. And we just all called anything that was alcoholic drink. We called it beer. That's bad. That's bad. Well, after the service, we went over to these people's home. We went into this house, and it was very nice, and they served us all, and they all gave us something to drink. They took my 2 sons, and they put them up at a bar that was in their home. Now, they didn't drink, but the man that owned the home was a distributor, worked for a beer distributing company, and he had these big fancy mugs that had like Budweiser all over the place. And he reached up. He wanted to get the kids something to drink, got them some apple juice, and poured their apple juice in two glasses that had like Budweiser or some beer logo on it. And Matthew just sat there, and Josh just sat there looking at it with their hands in their pocket on a bar stool, on a bar, looking at that thing the whole time. And we're just talking. I'm not paying much attention. And Joshua said, "Dad." And I'm thinking, "What's the deal?" And Matthew's saying, "Daddy, Daddy." And finally he looked at the lady and said, who was pouring apple juice into his beer mug, saying, "I can't drink that. I can't drink that." And she looked over and she said, "Pastor, is there something wrong?" And I looked up and I saw this like horrified look on Matthew and Joshua's face. I mean, they're just like totally freaked out. It was terrible. I had a situation probably about a year before that where somebody came over. Have you seen that Martinelli's apple juice? It's sparkling apple juice. It's in a wine bottle. And somebody brought some Martinelli's over to our house to have a celebration about something. I don't know, birthday or something. Brought this stuff over. And Matt, everybody's just having a good time. We were just hanging out. Matt must have been about 2 years old. I mean, so it was a few years before this because we were still over on Placer. So he could have been anywhere but 3 and 4 years old. And everybody's having a good time, and all of a sudden they pull out of the bag these two Martinelli bottles. And Matthew just started going ballistic. "Dad, don't drink it. Dad, don't drink it. Dad, that's beer. That's bad. Don't do it. Dad, don't do it." Because he knew that if I did, I would start beating my wife and leave the family and go ruin my life. And I said, "Son, this is apple juice." No, Daddy, that's bad. And I said, watch what Daddy's going to do. And Daddy took and insulted the two people. Watch what Daddy's going to do. And poured out two bottles of Martinelli's into the sink. Perfectly good apple juice. Good sparkling apple juice. Poured it into the sink. Offended the guests that came over, said, "No, we won't drink that, son." Why? Because his mind could not comprehend. They sat there at that bar, and I said, "Oh," I said to the I said, "You know what? We teach them that beer is bad, and those glasses that they have in front of them." I knew at that point this family's never going to come back to our church. I said, "We tell them that beer is bad, and they don't want to drink out of those mugs because it's." They said, "It's not beer." I said, "I know, but they think that." That's bad, and it is, and we don't want them to think, be comfortable with it. And so if you could just get them a little plastic cup or something, that would be a whole lot better. And so they got them a plastic cup. And like I said, the family never came back because I'm an extremist, a whacked out legalistic nut. But you know what? My kids grew up and they never touched liquor in their entire life. And I didn't have to worry about that. What I'm saying is this, afterwards I explained, you know, that wasn't really beer. And I talked to him, but I'm glad that you boys stood up and said, "No, we're not going to drink out of that." And I'm glad that you took a stand. Now, I'm so glad I did that. I mean, they turned out bad enough as it is. If I'd have let that go on, imagine how bad things would be. But anyway, let them see the world from your perspective. Now, the plan for homeschooling. You have got to have a plan. Somebody told me years ago, if you fail to plan, you can plan to fail. Homeschooling isn't just going, having the kids at home, and boy, I'll enjoy having them around. You need to understand when you say, "I'm going to homeschool," you're looking at hard work, and you're looking at for 13 years of hard work. For us, it wound up being 25 years because we had 5 children. It's not easy. It's not a walk in the park. It's not, "Oh, this is the way God wanted it. It'll be like the Garden of Eden in your home." The only thing that'll look like the Garden of Eden is the fact that, well, I won't say that. The fact is that it is God's plan. It is God's plan that your children be trained. And if you're going to train them, then you have to have a plan for training them. The first thing that you need to do is choose a curriculum. Choose a curriculum. That is, don't say, well, I'll just collect a book here and a book there, and I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this. Don't do that. There's several curriculums out there. I've listed some of them, Bob Jones, Alpha and Omega, Liberty Academy, and there's several others that are out there. People want to talk about getting a Saxon math and all sorts of different things that you can do. I like order. I don't like disorder. I don't like to have to go and figure out something that somebody else has already figured out. I figure if somebody built a bicycle, then I'll just buy the bicycle rather than try and make a bicycle myself from spare parts. It just works better that way. You say, well, what it costs more to buy a bicycle? It's worth the cost. I'm not going to mess around with a bunch of stuff. Now, the fact of the matter is, for the last 50 years, a couple named Arlen and Becca Horton have been in the Christian education business. They have spent their entire lives educating children. They did it before Bob Jones. They did it before Alpha and Omega. They did it before ACE. They did it before anybody did it. They were developing curriculum for children. Is their curriculum perfect? No, but I personally think it's absolutely the best. I do not hold stock in a Becca book. I do not get rewarded for saying this. Nobody's sending me an honorarium. I'm just telling you this. A Becca book, that may not be the best, it may not be the most perfect, but it is a curriculum and it works and children can be trained by it. And we just decided, hey, we're going to sit with this curriculum. It has been proven. And over the years, I've had people say, well, we don't use that at all. You know, you get better math in this situation. You get better English over here. And you can get history and geography. And, oh, boy, we're going to use this stuff from Bill Gothard. And we're going to use... I've had every type of thing given to us. And we said, look, this is what we use. We use a Becca book. Now, a Becca may not be your forte, but you need to say, I'm going to choose a curriculum. And don't make yourself miserable by saying, I'm going to be creative. You are not that creative. I don't care who you are. You are not as smart as the devil wants to tell you you are. If somebody else has already done it for you, let them do it for you. I know people who fail miserably at homeschooling because they have their own plan. Well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. You've got to have a plan. And the first thing you need to do is choose a curriculum. And then, number two, you must be dedicated. You, the husband and the wife and the children, all have to say, we're in on this. We're going to do this. Now, there will be times that your kids will say, I don't want to homeschool. I want to go to school with everybody else. I want to do, then there's a time that you have to say, this is what we're doing. And that's where you as a disciplinarian need to come in. And as the parent need to come in. And you need to explain to them the benefits. But you also need to say, this is what we're going to do. And you really don't have a vote in the house. This is what you're going to do. You must be dedicated. If you are not all dedicated, it will fail. If you say, well, I'm not committed totally and completely to training my children at home. We're not just talking about playing at home and calling it homeschooling. We're talking about homeschooling. It won't work. Parents must agree in front of the children. You can fight all you want. I think this is ridiculous. This is stupid. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of these kids around here. I'd just give them to the public school just to get them out of the house for a few hours. Just for peace. Maybe we can clean something up around here. You need to understand that if you want to have those kind of discussions, then do it where the kids can't hear you. You need to be united and you must be dedicated and you must say, my kids are worth it. My kids are worth it. My kids are worth it. No matter what criticism we get, no matter what happens, our kids are worth it. Then you must have a schedule. I'm telling you, if you want to succeed, if you want, you can say, well, I know people that have homeschooled their kids and they just have no schedule. I want you to know they probably aren't doing well right now. If they're not scheduled, if they're not being forced to learn, if they're not in a scheduled, in a set some type of structured environment, they're not going to learn, just like you're not going to learn. You need to have some type of structure. There needs to be a schedule. Start on a certain day. We always knew that about the middle of the second week of September, we were going to start school. Our kids knew that they went to school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, because Monday I took off with them. And that we were going to spend the entire day together on Monday. They had a structure that was going to go on. There were activities at church on Saturday. They didn't get to go. If they wanted to go really bad as they got older, then they had to do 2 days of school on Friday. So that then they would stay up late, till late on Friday, doing what they were scheduled to do for that week, so that Saturday they could come to Awana Olympics, or so that Saturday they could come to some activity that was going on at church. They had to finish their school first because there was a schedule. You start on a certain day. We were going to start in the middle of September, or the middle of the second week of September, and we were going to end by the middle of May. We were going to do that. That schedule was set. Accomplish so much per day. This is what we're going to do per day. This is what we're going to accomplish on a certain day. You've got to have a schedule. We're going to make so much progress each week. This is the plan. This is where we're going to get to. Now, is your plan going to get messed up from time to time? Yes. The key thing is that it doesn't get messed up all the time. I tell people, when it comes to prayer, you've got to have a pattern in your life. When it comes to Bible reading, you've got to have a pattern in your life. Whatever you're going to succeed at, you've got to have a pattern for. And if you don't have a pattern, you don't have anything to go back to. For instance, this morning, I did not get up at 5:30 and read my Bible and pray. I did not do that. This morning, I got up at about 6:40. And I did not want to get up at 6:40. I got up at 6:40. I got dressed real quick. I did some things around the house. And I left my house about 7:30 so that I could get here right at 8 o'clock. That's what I did this morning. I did not read my Bible. I did not pray. Does that mean that I don't read my Bible and pray every day? No, that means I can stand up here and say I read my Bible and pray every day because that's my pattern. That's what I normally do. Now, if I didn't have that pattern, then tomorrow morning at 5:30, I wouldn't get up at 5:30. I will get up tomorrow morning at 5:30 and I will read my Bible and I will pray and I will exercise while I do that. I'll have a half hour to 40 minutes of workout that I'll do while I'm reading my Bible. And I'll do that. Why? Because that's my pattern. Does that mean that every single day I do that? No. It just means that that's my pattern. Okay? That's my plan. Sometimes something happens. Family Life Conference happened to me this week. That means that this week things have changed, but I have a pattern to go back to. You've got to have that with homeschool. You've got to have a pattern. Start on a certain day, accomplish so much per day, make so much progress each week, make up a plan for makeup days. You ought to have a plan for makeup days. There were times that we said, okay, it's Monday. We're going to take Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to go to Disneyland. So we come back, and we come back on Tuesday. That means that we've got to make up. We've got to have a plan for makeup. So that means we're going to take some of the lessons that we would have done on Tuesday and spread them out throughout the week, or we're going to take an extra day, and we're going to work an extra long day. But you have to have a plan for makeup. Don't be too relaxed or too rigid. We've seen both extremes, where kids just go, they get up when they want to and they watch what they watch TV for a little while, and then eventually they read a book, and then they just go and again the kids grow up with no training whatsoever. You can be too relaxed. You can be too rigid. I know somebody who said, okay, we're getting up at 6 o'clock. We're going to do this. We're going to have breakfast. We're going to have Bible reading, and then we're going to go right in. And they made his kids wear uniforms, in his home school. They dressed and showered just like they were going to go to a regular school. And they did all these things. And you know what? He drove his kids nuts. You know, they were begging for anything but dad. Can't you go on a trip or something? You don't want to be too rigid. You do not want to be too relaxed. Either of these extremes will fail. We've had our children accomplish. My wife said to me, I said, what do we do in the morning? She said, we just said, look, you get up and you do two or three classes before you have lunch. You can have lunch after you get, she'd either say two, based on what the classes were that year. She'd say either you're going to do two classes or you're going to do three classes, and then before you have lunch. But she had a plan and a pattern for them. Don't make life hard on yourself by using several different curriculums. And I'm telling you again, there are people that tell me all the time, well, we just do whatever we can find. Don't do that. You're just making life tough on yourself. When we started this school, people said, well, you can use this kind of math, you can use this kind of English, and if I was you, I'd use this, and I'd use that. And I had a lady, actually, before Pastor Shore came on, about 2 years before Pastor Shore came, I had a lady that was educated, and she'd grown up here, and she said, I said, will you help me start the school? So we started looking, I said, I want to use all Abeka. And she said, I don't want to do that. I want to use this and this and this. Now, we want to develop our own system so this is our system. I said, no, that's not what we want to do. That's what you want to do. And I said, you're only telling me that you're going to be here maybe 2 years. And then what am I going to do when I've got your system after 2 years and you're gone? Then I got to figure out your system and nobody knows your system but you. Then I'm stuck with your system. I'd rather have a system that everybody in America knows about so when you leave, I can find somebody else and say, here, it's the system. You know the system? Okay, here's the system. It's everybody knows the system. And we can do it. Pastor Shore came on and said, hey, that's smart. And Pastor Shore came on and developed the system. Now, it really is somewhat different here at Liberty than it would be any place because everybody has a uniqueness to them. But the fact of the matter is, it's the basic Pensacola Abeka system, and if he dies tomorrow, Jan can take over. And so he is getting sort of elderly. So that's the whole idea, and you need that in your home. You need to be able to say, "I got a system, and the same system is for each one of the kids." And you know what will happen? Your kids that are in the 11th grade that started off when they were in kindergarten are going to be able to help the ones that were in the 7th, that are in the 7th grade and the one that was in the 5th grade because you've had them all on the same system. And they can actually be a help to one another instead of a hindrance, trying to figure out something new all the time. Have a system. Don't make life hard on yourself. Don't let children go at their own pace, because if they go at their own pace, they won't move. They just will not. Now, there are some curriculums like ACE that have paces that you work at, and I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying, look, you need to say, here's the schedule, and this is what you're going to accomplish. Put them in different rooms if possible. Each of our kids had a different room that they were sitting in, so that they weren't interacting with each other when they were in school. They were in school. Put them in. And by the way, you don't have to have a rigid. You don't have to build yourself a school room for the children and do all that. I've seen people do that, and that's fine if that's what you want to do, and if that you got the money and you got the time to do that, that's fine. But they do need to have their space. That's what they're going to do when they're in school. And so in their room, while they were doing school, they could be laying down on their bed doing school. They could be sitting at their desk that we provided for them. They could be sitting, as long as they got their schoolwork done. Put them, if you don't have different rooms, put them in different spaces in the room. Or if separate rooms is not an option, make sure that you have a space for them. Make learning fun when possible, but make sure they are learning. The important thing isn't that they have fun. The important thing is that they learn. And understand that. And then supervise. You have got to watch your children. Now look, we used Abeka videos. Now it's Abeka DVDs. I think the cost now is about $1,000 a year. And in fact, they got a special going on this next year for like half that. I think it was like $600, $700. Amazing that you can get the entire curriculum. We had our kids enrolled with Abeka School. We did that for two reasons. Number one, I know that we have to have accountability. And because if you don't have some kind of accountability to somebody, you'll let things slide. You just will. The fact of the matter is, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, but So we had our kids sitting in front of a TV, plugged in a DVD, and my wife was able to go from room to room and check on them. It's not a matter of throwing them in front of a TV and saying, hey, just do your own thing. It's a matter of supervising. And if you've got them on just written curriculum, then you need to understand that your responsibility is to school them. To school them. Just like the teacher would be watching them in school, your responsibility is to watch them at school. And you need to school them. Everybody else will think, hey, your kids don't go to school. They'll think you're relaxed and it's all whatever. You need to understand what you're doing is schooling your children, and you're keeping them home to educate them. Not just so they can watch Leave It to Beaver, Bonanza, or whatever happens to be on cable TV this year. Supervise them. Don't change your plan in midstream. Don't say, okay, well, we're going to go along with this program. Oh, they're having a tough time with this, so we'll throw that out and we'll try something else. No, stick with what you're going to do. Some of my kids did very well with the Abeka English program. Others did not. Some of our kids have beautiful handwriting. Others have my handwriting. And it didn't matter whether they had Abeka, and it didn't matter what. They just followed in the footsteps or the printing, if you would, of their father. Don't change in midstream. It's better to have a mediocre plan than it is to be inconsistent. Children need consistency. This is what we do. So that your child should say, if it's Monday through Saturday, your child should know that when their friends say, Saturday we're all going to go to a football game, that they're going to say, no, I can't because I have school. You have school on Saturday? Oh, yeah, that's right. You homeschool. Man, that must be great. You just sit around and watch TV all day. Children need consistency. Don't use discarded public school curriculum. This is my advice to you. You do whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, they got rid of it for a reason. If they got rid of it, and then there's a reason. Check the internet for books. They may be cheaper online. eBay, check eBay. You can get books. You can get all the Abeka books you want online, and you can buy stuff that at a very cheap price. They're not allowed to do that. That's your stuff. You can sell it. You can do whatever you want to with it. Some curriculums will have homework. Let me give you this suggestion. Do the homework right after the class. Don't tell your kids. If your curriculum says you got so much homework, let them do their schoolwork, their classwork, and then do the homework right after class. When school is over, let it be over. One of the benefits of homeschool is when it's over, it's over. And you can get it done in several. If you have a plan and you have a system, then you can have so many hours of school, about four hours of school, and you've got the whole day done, and they've got the rest of the day to have fun. That's one of the benefits. Some curriculums will have homework. Do the homework right after class. When school is over, it's over. If your parents are positive about positive, ask your grandparents for help. If your parents are negative, don't bring up the subject. When they ask, what school do your kids go to? Say, oh, they go to and name the academy. We would always say, hey, they go to Abeka School. Well, where's that? Well, around. You don't need to answer questions. You don't need to get in an argument about, oh, their kids aren't going to get anything and they'll be social misfits and there'll be hothouse Christians and they're not going to know how to live in the world. Just don't bring up the subject. Just don't bring it up. Grade your children. Don't just say, well, I don't want to grade them because I don't want to hurt their little psyche. You grade your children, reward your children. If they do not perform, discipline them. They need an education. They need to be educated. Have a source. If you have your kids at home school because they're not doing well at another school, then you make sure that they do well in your school and don't let them slough off because you're too lazy or you're too much of a coward to deal with the discipline problems. You need to make sure they're taught. It's a terrible thing to raise a bunch of children that are Christians and have them socially unacceptable and morons that aren't educated. It's a shame the rap that homeschoolers get because some parents didn't school their kids. They just kept them home. If they do not perform, discipline them. Have a source of accountability. Our source of accountability was Abeka Book. We always signed up every year. It cost us a little bit more. We always signed up because we knew we had to get those grades in by a certain time. We knew the kids had to perform. We knew they had to get their tests done by a certain time. We knew that. It forced us. And with five kids homeschooling all at once, we wanted to make sure that we did it and that we didn't slough off. And it's easy to slough off because your schedule gets so filled. Well, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. Well, you can't if you have an accountability. Any school, be registered with a school and make sure that you have some type of accountability. If you're not into that, then have a friend to account to. And make sure that they... We have a tendency, I already said this, we have a tendency to slide if we don't have accountability. If your spouse is your accountability partner, this can cause major conflicts. Because he comes home and he says, what have you been doing today? And that's just like, that's fighting words. That's like, what have I been doing today? That doesn't need to be the case. But you can have a friend say, hey, we're on lesson 48. What lesson are you on? You know, we're supposed to be on lesson 67. That means you're like 20 behind, 19 behind. You need accountability. And if you're resisting that thought right now, it's because you know you're behind in what you should be doing when it comes to homeschooling. You need that. The problems. Here's your problems and here's the payoff. The problem is, number one, your critics. Your in-laws will criticize you. Educators will criticize you. They're not doing such a great job, but they'll criticize you for what you're doing. Your friends will criticize you. Church members will criticize you. The thing is, you've got to say to yourself, are my kids' life worth it? By the way, let me say, as a homeschooler, if you're not going to, don't play the game. It's hard, hard work. It's worth it, but it's hard work. And if you don't have the time, if you're going to work, you can't homeschool and while you're at work. You have got to be there. You've got to be the principal. You've got to be the teacher. You've got to be the monitor. Other problems, there's disorder in the house. When your wife is at home and she is constantly watching the kids and trying to train the kids, and after a day of schooling, she will be tired. The husband needs to help around the house. You cannot be the guy that comes home and says, oh, my wife's just been around here all day long. Your wife has been working her fingers to the bone all day long. When others are relaxing, you are teaching, and you need to understand that. This is work. It's going to cost you to homeschool. Homeschooling is expensive. It will cost you. Just come on in. We'll finish this up as you're coming in. You're doing it anyway. So time. Book reports take time. Science projects take time. Physical education takes time. Home economic takes time. Everything about the schooling takes time. It is just hard work for 13 years. And you need to say in your mind, I am willing to work hard and get criticized and be told that all I do is hang around my house all day long. I'm willing to put up with this and all the problems that are associated with it in order to train my children. If you have an option, people say, why did you homeschool? Because we didn't really have an option. The fact of the matter is we wanted our kids to be with us. We wanted them to be trained. And we wanted our children I had a Monday off. It was the only day that I could spend with my children. So with my schedule, it was the only option I had. And it worked. And I thank the Lord that God worked. What's the payoff? The payoff is graduation. The payoff is intelligent children that have learned because you spent your life doing this. Children that might have been neglected are being educated. One of our children had a speech impediment and spoke with a very thick tongue. My wife had to learn how to teach him to articulate distinctly. I can remember the words articulate distinctly being said 8 million times in my house. You must articulate distinctly. My wife taught one of my children to hold their tongue so they would learn how to say tea and how to talk better and how to mold their lips, and would work at that. And that took hours and hours and hours for a period of years. But now my children can talk very distinctly and speak with purpose. Two of our children were dyslexic, and we had to take hours and hours of time that the other children didn't need in order to train them. It was worth it. Those children would have been neglected and would not have been educated if they had been in a public school environment. They would have just been passed over. The other great, great benefit is morally pure children. When you're supervising your children 24 hours a day, they're not going to get an opportunity to be morally impure. And then you're going to have children that thrive. That's the payoff. So there are benefits to homeschooling. But I want to say again, hard, hard, hard work. It's no playground. It's something that you have to determine that you're going to do. All right?